February 20th, Blessed Peter of Atresia, Confessor of First Order. Peter was the son of the pious parents of Atresia, formerly called Montecchino, not far from Ancona. He was born about the time that St. Francis died. Even as a child, he was so intent on perfection that he was asked on a certain occasion, "Well, little one, what do you intend to be?" He answered, "I want to be a saint." He was no more than a young lad when he decided to escape the dangers of the world and sought admission in the recent founded order of St. Francis. Having stood his probation and made his religious vows, he went on to higher studies in which he made rapid progress. He was soon ordained a priest. He was appointed to the task of preaching. He discharged his duty with great zeal, for the honor of God and the salvation of souls was the only goal he had in mind. He venerated St. Michael with special confidence as his patron in the struggle against hell. He had formed an intimate friendship with Blessed Conrad of Ofida, with whom he lived for a time in a convent at Forano. They encouraged each other in holy zeal and vied with each other in practicing virtue rather than in speaking about it. Peter was often found in ecstasy at prayer and had frequent visions. St. Michael once appeared to him and asked him what favor he could obtain for him for all his labors in saving souls. Peter replied humbly, "I ask only that you obtain for me the remission of my personal sins." He then received the assurance from heaven that all his sins had been forgiven. He cherished an ardent devotion for the sufferings of Christ in his meditations. He represented them to his mind in so vivid a fashion that they seemed to be enacted before his eyes. His whole body was so affected at the contemplation that he was often found hovering high in the air before the crucifix. After a long life of labor and rigorous mortification, he slept peacefully in the Lord, famed for his miracles that he performed both before and after death. He died on February 19th in his tomb in the Franciscan church at Cirolo near Ancona, before the altar of the crucifix became an object of veneration from the beginning. In 1654, his remains were transferred to Atresia, and in 1792, Pope Pius VI permitted his feast to be celebrated in the Franciscan order. On Holy Friendship, 1. How edifying and fruitful a blessing was the holy friendship between Blessed Peter and Blessed Conrad. What is said of the friendship between St. Augustine and Alpheus, and between St. Basil and St. Gregory, could readily be said between these two saintly friars. They appeared to be but one soul in the two bodies. It is as if two flames joined and shot forth in a greater glow. When truly pious souls are joined in intimate friendship, the fire of the love of God and neighbor, as well as zeal for virtue, are increased. Therefore, Holy Writ says of the soul of the faithful friend, "He that hath found him hath found a treasure, no weight of gold and silver is able to countervail. It is the medicine of life and immortality." Ecclesiasticus 6:14. 2. Consider the path that leads to such friendship. "They that fear the Lord," the wise man says again, "shall find a faithful friend, and he that fears God shall likewise have good friendship." Ecclesiasticus 6:16. Genuine and holy friendship can exist only where the fear of the Lord reigns, and if you are God-fearing, you will also prove a true friend. Do not choose your friends only according to their natural good qualities and what you like in them. Such friendship will not pass the test, and there often results nothing but bitterness. "Of all, therefore, that are dear to you, let Jesus be your special friend," says the Imitation of Christ. Then you will never trust too securely into human friendship, no matter how good it may be, and if you find that you have been deceived, you will not be too disappointed. 3. Consider that after a mature deliberation you have entered upon as any friendship, you should also assume certain responsibilities. You owe it to your friends in true charity to encourage them in all that is good and to preserve them from harm. To flatter them in their faults is really to be a traitor to them. You must stand by your friend in time of need and be willing to make sacrifices for him, after the example of our best friend Jesus, who gave his life for his friends, John 15:13. True friends will always pray for one another frequently and fervently, that their mutual friendship may always become holier, and that they may steadily grow in the love of God. Prayer of the Church. O God, who did lavish your heavenly gifts upon Blessed Peter, your confessor, grant, we beseech you, that we may rejoice in his protection here on earth, and may be partners with him in heavenly glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed Peter of Treja, pray for us.
Thank you.